Welcome to the Uplifters Podcast, where every week we talk to an inspiring woman who's doing big, brave things in the world to understand how she does it so that we can all learn a little bit more about how we can too. So many of the women that you've met on this show are change makers or transformers, and I often parse those two apart. Right? The change makers being people who saw a problem in the world and decided to pour all of their energy into creating the change they wished existed in the world. And transformers being people who found in their own lives that there was something they wanted or needed to change and set out to create that change in themselves. Our guest today did both. Today, you're going to meet Dina Barron. She is a seasoned intuitive guide, storyteller, and a certified coach with over 20 years of experience in the mystical arts. She is the author of The Way Within, Igniting Your Intuition with Sacred Tools, and helps people find their purpose, respect their core values, and navigate their life's journeys with wisdom and love. Dina, I'm so excited that you are bringing your wisdom, your love, your genius, and your art to the Uplifters today.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here. You put out the same love and the same intention and the same. So even though my work may be a little bit different.
So cool.
It's got the same heart.
I mean, it feels very full circle. Dina was nominated for the show by Candy Maciek, who so many of you just fell madly in love with when we shared her story, which made me even more excited to meet Dina. So were you like born a tarot reader, Dina, or did you come to this in life?
Well, yes and no. How I found this work was through my grandmother. So was I born into it? I would say that yes, yeah. Because she is family. But I feel as though I didn't know. I mean, she was always interested in astrology and she would talk about people as if they were their astrological sign. And I had no idea what that meant. And she would be like, oh, well, of course they said that, you know, they're a Leo. And I'm just like, okay, what does this mean? And so she started kind of teaching me. So I got like a little bit of a piecemeal introduction when I was a young girl, and I grew up in New Jersey, and I always loved to go to the boardwalk down in Atlantic City, and I would see women, you know, reading palms on the boardwalk, and I would beg my mother, please, can we go get our palms read? And she'd be like, no, keep walking. So it's like, I feel like it was in my blood, and my grandmother kind of dangled the carrot in the beginning, but I didn't start studying it until I graduated college and I came back to New York City. And I had a job that was working me very, very long hours. And I figured I have to find a way out. And how I found my way out was to take a class, and that class turned out to be tarot. So it kind of like circled me back. I feel like there was never a time that I was not interested in all things divination, whether it be palm reading, whether it be astrology, whether it be the tarot deck, like anything, you know, runes or Lenormand deck or like crystals or any of that, I would always be like, ooh, I'd like to go take a look kind of thing. I was always interested.
Yeah. So it was that deep curiosity that led you.
Yeah. And I carry that deep curiosity with me everywhere I go today as well. Mm. And I feel as though that is me in a nutshell. I am so curious about the world. And I just want to like pick the hood up of the car and kind of see how it's all happening, which is why I'm so interested about people. I want to know what's happening beneath that shiny surface that we show the world. We look like we have it all together, but on the inside, things may not be quite so clean cut.
Yeah. As I'm listening to what you're saying, it sounds like the core theme across these is finding ways to make sense of the world and of humans.
And of who you are, like, who are you? What is your why? And, you know, once you figure out your why, what you want, who you want to be in the world, then it helps you figure out what you're going to do to make that happen.
What you're saying here about learning is so meaningful on a universal level. When I talk to women who feel stuck, when I felt stuck in my own life, when my teenagers feel stuck, I have found that no matter how different we all are, no matter what our different values are, there's usually the same cure to the illness of feeling stuck. And it is to learn something, anything. And I think I would even fine tune that observation now after listening to you, which is to learn something that we are curious about.
Yes. Yes. That which draws you in. Like, yeah. I feel like I've met so many people that, like, for example, they come from a family of lawyers. So they were always expected to be a lawyer. So then they follow that path. And then not too far along that path, they feel as though they're trapped in their own lives. And, you know, they come to me asking, how can I be happy again? And I was like, well, let's look at your chart. And I realized you're a creative person. And the fact that you're doing like maybe accounting work or you're writing briefs all day, you're not exercising that creative muscle. And slowly that light within you that is creativity, that does light you up, is getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. But meanwhile, you've made your family happy, but have you made yourself happy? And I feel it's really important. Like what I really work with is I'm not worried about what the world thinks. I'm worried what you think. Who knows you better than you? What really stumps me is when people start asking their friends, their family, the person standing next to them in Starbucks or at the post office, like, what do you think? It's like, how can you give your, you know, the decisions that you're making over to someone else? Who knows what you want more than you?
I think that answer is so fascinating because the way many of us have perceived tarot readers and mystics in large part is you're going to see in me something I can't see in myself.
And I so can it's do like, that. I can do that. And I do.
But you're not going to tell them what to do.
Well, here's the thing. This is where my coaching comes in. Because for a lot of the people that I work with, I haven't known them for a super long time. So it's like, how can you put the weight of responsibility in the hands of someone who you met 15 minutes ago or you've only known for a few months? I will show you all the moving parts. I will talk to you about all the pieces. And then I will say, what do you think? Somebody will come to me and talk to me about a situation that they're in. Should they stay in this relationship? Should they quit their job? And I said, well, only you can make that decision. Only you will know. I'm like, I will talk about this with you, but then the ultimate decision must be made by you.
Yeah. What an empowering response.
Exactly. People are so used to giving that power away. I hear a lot of people that are not feeling confident in their decision-making. When I start doing a reading for someone, just to kind of like chit-chat while I'm shuffling cards or whatever, I say to someone, what is your relationship with your intuition? And more than once, I get that blank stare coming back saying, what do you mean by that?
Interesting. So it's not even it's like a foreign language. Their intuition is like Russian to them if they normally speak English.
Exactly. Because they said, I trusted it once or twice, or like I was going to trust it, but then I didn't. Like there's always a story. And that's also like why I call myself a storyteller, because I think about what is the story of your life? The story of your life may be that you always make bad decisions. Okay, so if that's the story of your life, and that's the story that you believe is true, when you are being given the responsibility of making a decision, all of a sudden,
that's what you're going to tell yourself.
And then you think, well, I don't know the answer. Well, I can't make this decision. And then that's when things go sideways. So I feel as though what we need to do is develop confidence and reconnect to that intuition. What if you were right? What if you did know?
Yeah, I think often about how individual, often tiny, deeply insignificant moments become the most significant drivers in our lives. The one time the girl laughed at your shoes in fourth grade, and suddenly you walk away for the rest of your life with a belief that you have poor taste in shoes.
Right. Yes, that's
and
true.
It never gets challenged again.
Right. Because also sometimes what happens is it never goes back to that. Mm. Sometimes you'll be like, what is your hang up on your shoes? And you're like, I don't know. And then sometimes it's funny because when I work with charms, my charms are exactly that, little symbols in the world. So sometimes I will pull a symbol that brings up an old story. And like I just had that happen last week and it was really mind-blowing to me. And I'm like, here is the answer. Like it just got handed to us on a silver platter.
Yeah.
And now that we know this, let's change the story. Let's reframe. That's who you were. That's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like driving in the car, but looking in the rearview mirror. That happened. That's my past, but I'm not going in that direction. And if I keep driving, looking in the rearview mirror, things are not going to go well for me. I need to start looking through the windshield.
You will crash.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's definitely, I feel as though people sometimes, and this can connect to like, were you the youngest in your family? Were you the oldest in your family? Were you the class clown? Were you a math geek? Like, who were you in your life? Sometimes when we grow up, we never quite shed those skins, which sometimes can leave us feeling, as you mentioned, stuck.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you're using all of these as signals and, as you said, symbols to help open up these long, quieted conversations within ourselves.
Yes. And I, you know, I'm not saying that I'm above this. I mean, I have been stuck myself as well. And sometimes like a dog needs to kind of like gnaw on a bone a little bit. You need to be stuck in order to learn the lesson. And I feel as though that's what the universe does. It keeps you stuck in Groundhog Day, so to speak, until you learn the lesson and figure out, like, here's how I get out of this hole. Here's how I change the situation kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can move forward. But it has to happen through you.
We've all had that experience.
Yeah.
We've heard the brilliant advice or idea 1,000 times before one day we say, oh, that applies to me. So for you, you started to learn about all these different methodologies, and I know you really went down a rabbit hole there and immersed yourself in that knowledge.
Yes.
And so over the course of that learning journey, what changed in you?
So much. Well, my first, and I feel as though, I mean, yes, now I am a master tower reader and I read palms and I do astrology and I do numerology and I have a lot of different ways that I work, but I didn't start out doing 16 things. I feel as though it's really important for you to learn one thing, like get good at that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is after my grandmother introduced me to astrology, what really kind of got me is I found tarot. And I found a tarot class here in New York City where I live. And they had a Monday night class. It was every Monday night from 6 to 9 p.m. And they taught it 48 weeks a year. Every year, they would go through the entire tarot deck in a year. And then they do this thing, which I call the rotisserie chicken effect. And what they do is they turn it. So say 1 year we learn and we learn all about symbolism. And then the next year we learn all about tarot through the realm of color. Then we find the next year and we learn it all through the titles of the cards and what the titles mean. I went every Monday night for 8 years. But it wasn't the same thing because we were doing the rotisserie chicken.
Uh-huh.
Every year that I would go back, my teachers, who I love, they're like family to me, were teaching me in new and different ways. I know this tarot deck backwards and forwards. I know it better than I know the back of my hand. And I always say, it's like I speak two languages. I speak tarot and I speak English.
Wow.
But the thing is, tarot has numbers. So it started the numerology thing with me. Tarot has symbols. So it started the symbiology thing with me. Tarot has astrological associations. So it started the astrological connection for me. So a lot of the things that I did were natural progressions from the original work that I started with. Plus, I was doing work to increase my intuition. Plus, I was meditating. I was doing tapping. I was always taking a class. I am a forever student. I feel as though I just want to add and give more weight, more depth, more breath. Like I just want to know more. My teacher used to say to me, he would be terrified because I would always be like, but why? Why? You know, I would like dig. I had to know my stuff because you like held my feet to the fire. And I said, I want to know because I want to be able to give the information and back it up and say, this is why this is important.
Mm. So you had been working in this 9-to-5 world, which was 9-to-9, I know. And then you became a master in these arts. At what point did you say, I'm going to leave this career path I thought I was on and lean into this new path fully or even partially?
Yeah. Well, I will let you know that. So I always did like tarot on the side. Like, I don't know, everybody,
there you go.
I'm convinced that everybody has a side gig. So first I was working.
Now we can talk about it though. Do you remember though, like in the early aughts, if somebody had a side hustle, it was very hush hush. You would never admit
it.
Now you admit it and it makes you interesting.
Right. And it was funny. I worked in sales.
Fascinating.
And I had a boss that knew what I did on the side. And he came up to me because people would come up to me in my office and say, so what's happening with this full moon? Or what do you think of this Mercury retrograde? My boss would always say to me, what you do outside of here is not my business, but I don't want to see or hear any of this here.
Ick.
Here you sell. Here you work for me. So when people would come to my desk, I would be like, you know, kind of like wave them away. I'm like, I'll see you in the bathroom later. Or like, I can't talk about this right now. And basically COVID.
That's so damaging, by the way.
It was, I felt.
To be told to hide, whatever it is.
Yes. And what I did is I not only hid it at work, I hid it. Like the only people that knew that I did it were like the people that I did readings and parties for. And because I had kids and my kids were like, can't you just be a banker or a lawyer like other moms? Like, what the heck, you know, kind of thing. Like they thought that it was a little bit like kooky and embarrassing for them. And so I didn't really talk about it a lot. And COVID happened. And suddenly I had 3 kids on Zoom school at home.
Awesome.
I had worked at this point for 20 years for my boss in sales, and I knew exactly what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to get on the phone and sell. But the problem was that I had 3 kids that were going rogue in my house. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was doing all I could to like herd the cats that were in my house. And it was just like a very, very difficult time. And I went to my boss and I said, I know what you want me to do. You've been very, because he was patient with me in the beginning. And then he said, you got to make a decision. Mm. Either you're going to like do this full on, or he says, you're always welcome here, but you need to get your act together. Basically, like I was just unable to do it all. I didn't care about it in the way that I used to, but I was new to coaching. So I'd always been doing like my readings, but I had never really combined it with coaching. So it took me a couple of years to get a rhythm down and figure out how to use it. But what ultimately was my off-ramp from the corporate life was COVID and my kids just needing more support than I could give them. And then realizing I could do this. And then my business started attracting more clients and people were like, are you new to this? And I'm like, no, I've been doing this for over 20 years and I've just been hiding it because it was maybe quote unquote, not appropriate, not appropriate to my boss, not appropriate to my kids. So I felt that judgment. So I know what it feels like to want to hide, to kind of shrink from the spotlight. But you know what? A lot of people were not getting the bright light and the information that I can give them because I wasn't allowing it to shine.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what?
Yes, yes, yes.
We are going to change this story. Exactly. And it took a little while.
What a trade-off, right?
Yes, yes. And I feel so free and so, like, it feels so right. Like, I think back, like, how could I have stayed there for as long as I did? But it was just kind of like, I was on autopilot. I just did what I did and I just made it work. And I'm so grateful for that moment when I realized I needed to leave.
Yeah.
And so that's where it all started. It's kind of like contagious, that feeling of excitement about something. And so many people, corporate, high level, whatever, are really interested in knowing their tarot cards. They're knowing what I see for their astrology. I just did a big corporate event the other day, and the CEO wanted his palm read. And he's like, everybody needs to leave. And the two of us sat there, I held his hand, we read his palm, and he was like, wow. It was just like such a moment. And I was laughing. I'm like, if the 10 years ago version of me could see this now, it would warm my heart and maybe get me off that sooner. Yeah.
When you think about that 10 year ago you, what was she worried would happen if she put her whole self out there?
I was afraid of being judged because the work that I do is like, people don't know what bucket to put me in, because it's like, you're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer, you're not a banker. You're kind of this out there woo person, but you do have coaching, but I'm not sure what you do. I was afraid to be like, all of a sudden, everybody whispering about me saying, what exactly is her thing? I feel like people would misunderstand me. I feel like people would maybe not include me because they felt like I wasn't intelligent enough because I wasn't one of them, so to speak. Mm-hmm. What I worried about was when I worked at a corporate-like job, I had a consistent salary that I was making. And I was also worried about, like, am I going to be able to earn consistent money doing this? Or am I going to be like, kind of like the parlor trick that people bring in every now and again? And I was like, you know what? I get to decide what this looks like, because I had 20 years working in corporate. I know how to talk to all levels of people. So I'm not afraid of the CEO. I'm not afraid to get in front of a boardroom. I'm one of very few people that can combine this all together and have it make sense to you. What's more valuable than that? Like, you being able to be authentic?
Yeah.
And so I made the decision that I was unwilling to hide. I was unwilling to shrink. And that I was unwilling to be judged by people that really had no idea what they were even judging.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so often when we ask ourselves those questions, right? Like, what am I afraid of? We look at them and we're like, that's BS. That doesn't get to be in charge. That doesn't have to be the outcome here. That's this one idea of what I had about what the outcome might be.
I had a young guy, I did a reading with him the other day. He pulled the passport. So I said to him, tell me about a passport. And what came up was, after he explained to me what he feels his passport, he said, it's funny, my passport just expired. And he said, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I didn't have one stamp in there. He said, I've never traveled outside of the country. And I said, well, tell me about that. And he said, well, my parents never traveled. And he said, and I think that I wanted to travel, but then I was afraid because I've never been. And then I went and got a passport, but I never did anything with it. And now it just expired. So he was telling me that, like, this version of him that is like afraid. And I said, so what exactly did you want out of this reading? And he says, well, I got stuck a couple of years ago, and it took me a few years to get it together. And I'm looking for a job. And he goes, and I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to find a job, and then I'm going to get stuck. And I said, okay, talk to me about the passport and getting stuck. And he said, well, I said, what does a passport represent to you? And he says, well, I can go anywhere. I said, right, it's freedom. And I said, it's independence. Like, you can take your passport and go anywhere in the world. I said, so you are afraid of being stuck. I said, but where you are right now, I go, there's no ceiling, there's no walls, there's no constraints. You can do anything. I said, you know, the old version of you who didn't realize that the passport is available to travel, I said, it sounds like you have regrets for not traveling. I said, and now, I said, we get to do it differently. I go, you're going to renew your passport and you're going to plan a trip, right? You're going to go, you're going to do something. You're going to, there's going to be at least a stamp in that passport before it expires again.
Yeah.
I said, and this is why, I said, how can we use that? Like, you have freedom to do whatever you want. I go, what kind of job do you want? What would not feel like being stuck? What would not feel like, what would feel like freedom? What would feel like independence? And he's like, yeah. He goes, I know what kind of work I want to do. I go, but what? But what, your parents might not approve of it? I go, they're staying home. You're going on a trip. And that trip is your new life. I said, so you're not going to get stuck. You have your passport. You're ready to travel. You're ready to move. And I said, and I believe that things will be different this time. I'm seeing it in you.
What a brave thing for him to do, to say, I'm going to come and let you see me.
Yes. And that's the thing I feel. So
like, that's a person who's ready for it.
He showed up vulnerable.
Yeah.
All people want is to feel safe. Safe to be themselves, safe to say the thing. That's what I want to give. You can do it, whatever that thing is. Your old story doesn't define what happens next.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I think the more we can bring those stories and lay them out on the proverbial table and see them for stories, the more we see that we can rewrite them. So as uplifters, there is nothing we love more than to uplift other uplifters. So, Dina, how can we as a community help you with your goals right now?
Wow. Well, first of all, I had this whole experience that I felt like women needed to find their light. So I wrote a book, and the book is called The Way Within. So that book is right now on Amazon.
Awesome. We will share links.
So if you want to do this yourself, you can go to Amazon and get this book. And I also have a charm journal that is out there now, and I sell my charms. If you want to work with charms, I can help with that. I have coaching programs that if you want to do a combination coaching and know your numbers, know your astrology, know your tarot birth cards, which is unbelievably powerful. I want to empower women and show them that they are the light. I am here to guide them, but I want them to know what lights the way is the light that shines from their heart. And all they need to do is listen to their heart in order to know the way.
How beautiful is that? Remember, nothing else from this conversation is the power of listening to ourselves and being true to the unique, extraordinary being that each one of us was born to be.
Amen.
I'm so happy Candy introduced us. Thank you so much for bringing your art, your magic to the Uplifters.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. I love talking to you. You are doing amazing work, Frances.
Thank you. It's like gaga joy.
The best, right?
Oh, I forgot to ask you. Who do you want to nominate for the Uplifters?
Who do I want to nominate? Let me think. I would like to nominate can I nominate my mom? My mom has been such a source of support and love. How lucky I am to have had her as a mom. She never judged. She never questioned. I mean, she just always, anything I did was just, she loved it. She loved it and was entertained by it and was just, so I feel like I look to her and I feel as though if I can grow up to be her, then everything would be right in the world.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the Uplifters in your life and then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more uplifters, and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwelling up perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, oh, lift you up.
chorus, right?
I was like,
Mommy, stop crying. Mommy, stop crying. You're disturbing the peace.